Yes, I know it feels like winter, but it is time for pitchers and catchers, the beginning of spring training. And Kevin Kernan from the New York Post always has some interesting stories behind the scenes this time of year. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Doing great, Lori.
So, Kevin, I know through the years, it's like I bookmark online some of your stories because it always seems like there are one or two nuggets in there that mid-season come back and are interesting. And you wrote something today, you know, today's post, and you called it the Mets way. You wrote a story about the Mets way, and usually that's something that people would laugh at. But tell us in this instance what that means and why that might be not something to scoff at.
Well, first off, Lloyd, the Mets fans are really, they've become incredible snowflakes. Really, they can't deal with anything, it seems like. And, you know, it's really... I understand the whole thing with the ownership and it falling apart, and the second time it's falling apart.
Well, wait, before you say snowflakes, you know what I find fascinating? And I've said this on social media, you know, as well as on the radio. What I find fascinating about the Mets is that, and Mets fans, is there's this wonderful dichotomy right now where Mets fans, I think, actually legitimately really like a very likable group of players. And like this team, and there's reasons for optimism with the team at the same time as they cannot stand the ownership.
Yeah, it's really amazing. If you like the players for the most part and you like the team and you think the team's on the upswing, then I guess the owners are kind of doing their job. But, you know, and I'm not saying, I'm certainly not totally defending the Wilpons and we all know what's going on there. But the bottom line is, they put together a team that looks like it should be okay. And the Mets way, and, you know, again, people look at headlines. You know, the other thing, whether it's millennials or whoever, they have real trouble reading a whole story. They can't do
it. Well, I read the whole story, so I know that you were talking about the Cardinal way. And
right.
So tell people about it sounds like Allard Baird, the assistant GM, who actually has a good pedigree here, has set this thing up. Explain to people what this is.
Allard took a year to look at everything. And one of the things they decided to do was create a handbook, fundamentals, bring in all the coaches. And I was there early this week. I've been here all week and, you know, been able to break a bunch of stories. And so I noticed all these meetings going on, and basically every coach in the organization for the most part is here, every coordinator, trainer, and they're going over how they want to teach these people, you know, how they want to teach the players. And Rojas, the new manager, is a teacher. He's a fundamental guy. I actually listened in, and they let me listen in on a few of the sessions. I listened in on the outfield session, and, you know, they want to make sure everything's the same way. So if you're in Double-A and you do get called up to the majors, you're not shocked by what's going on, like whether it's signs or how we move the runners along, whatever we do. And that's what it takes for an organization to succeed. Everybody can't be doing their own thing. Now, there's enough room for creativity, but the coaches are teaching a certain way. The analytics people are right in there, too. They're digging into. And it's fun to see. They're actually all pulling on the same rope in the right direction. So for all you want to criticize the Mets, I'm seeing some things in the organization that make a lot of sense. And that's essentially the Mets way. And it's not just how the Mets, and everybody thinks Mets way, and they think, oh, something they screwed up. No. And we'll see where it goes, but Baird has been very strong on this. A lot of good baseball people have been involved in this. Gary Disocina, I talked to him about it. And even a little thing, like I'm going to give you one little example. The shortstop, you know, Ahmed Rosario, Disocina recognized some things, straightened them out, squared them up a little bit, and all of a sudden, the second half of the year, really beginning in August, it really picked up. So that's all the little things. If you do it right, you'll make progress. And that's what this is all about. And in Rojas, I think they stepped into some luck here.
I agree.
This guy really, I'm very impressed with him. I know his father very well. I talked to Felipe Lu. I know Bruce Bochy very well. Two managers I respect, and Bochy knows him well. So this is and don't forget, too, they got Bam Bam over from the Giants organization. I had a long talk with Chili Davis yesterday. Chile's a baseball guy. They have a lot of baseball guys who are buying in on the analytics to make everything better. And key phrase in that story on the Mets way, what did Alan say? He said, ownership has made the commitment financially to bring in and upgrade our technology and everything else. So you can snowflake out all you want and all this stuff about the Will Ponds, but the bottom line is, if this works and this Mets way continues, there's going to be success. And secondly, and I wrote about it today, I got a tour of their new ballpark. Fans are going to love the spring training ballpark. What they've done is just—it's incredible. So even though everybody's ripping the organization and can't deal with anything, you may have a pretty good pitching rotation. You know, if Alonso continues to do well, one of the things the Mets have to do, and this is why we'll rip them, they got to learn their own organization better. And I think that's part of the Mets way as well. And that's what they're trying to do here by really digging deep on every level. So they're not surprised. So Pete Alonso doesn't come out of nowhere. Jeff McNeil, neither one is really boosted up until the last second. They should have identified that, you know, a couple of years ago. And that's what they need to do. So it's really interesting. Albert Barrett, of course, just to remind people, he was the KC GM when they made a lot of good moves early on for that team that eventually went to the World Series. And he wasn't the GM then. And he also went to the Red Sox. Yep. When lo and behold, the Red Sox won a couple World Series. So he's a longtime scout. You know, he deals with a lot of baseball people, and it's you dig around a little bit, you find out some interesting things.
All right. Well, as a proud snowflake, I will I'll criticize where criticism is due, but I also will compliment and be optimistic where it's due. And I'm with you on, I think the Mets got lucky with a do-over on the managerial situation. No disrespect intended to Carlos Beltran, but it did concern me that the Mets were, with a relatively inexperienced general manager, going to say, hey, let's take someone at manager who's never managed a game before in any level. And with Rojas, you know, here's a guy, I find this fascinating that he has managed at just about, you know, all levels within this organization. How do you think that benefits the team that he's managed a lot of these players in other levels?
On several levels. And one of them is, first of all, the players are familiar with him. And this is what I like best. Talking to the players this week that he's managed, they all say the same thing. They don't like him because he lets them get away with things or he's kind of fun to be around. They like him because he demands excellence, and he not only of himself and his coaches, but of the players. He's the kind of guy you want to play for. And as Rojas told me earlier this week when we met at a Starbucks, by the way, when I couldn't get on the campus.
What does he order, just for fans who want to know?
Actually, we just sat there and talked for an hour. We did the free Starbucks thing. Which is fine, because Starbucks,
They'd be perfectly happy to have the Mets manager sitting there at a Starbucks.
Exactly. And so he just has a way about him. But his best quote, I thought, in that column was, you know, they say, and it's true, he goes, you learn how to lose games in the minors because mm-hmm. you got to develop players at the same time you're trying to do some things. So you don't win all the time. You know, winning isn't the number one thing in the minor leagues, but you learn how to win games in winter ball, because winter ball is really, you know, it's
very high competitive. Strength. Yeah.
It's super competitive. Just think about baseball playoffs times two. That's what winter ball is. And you're dealing with all kinds of things, including, and I couldn't even get into this, Lloyd, because, you know, we're talking about roster, dealing with a lot of roster. He says a lot of the winter ball teams has as many as 80 people on the roster throughout the season.
Oh, God.
So he's got to keep everybody happy. He's dealing, and he's managing. He's 38 years old, but he's an old soul. And even little things. I talked to the clubhouse guys. I talked to the, Tommy Bowes, the longtime groundskeeper down there that's been there for, you know, 25 years. And he loves the kid simply because he's had him down there three times as a manager. And I hear that over and over. I heard it from Matt. I heard it from everybody that dealt with him. So I think they finally have a manager who really is going to manage and understands baseball. Now, the question is, well, if this guy was so good, why didn't they do it the first time? They probably didn't have the guts to do it.
Yeah.
After doing the Mickey Callaway, which was a little bit of a reach, it looks like a reach, but I think this is going to be something that's going to really work out well. And I think the pendulum is starting to swing back to baseball people managing teams. And I'm telling you right now, Mets fans will not be disappointed in how this guy manages the game. And I think as a writer, when we ask him questions, he's going to have, you know, he's going to have solid answers. I mean, now all the moves aren't going to work, obviously, but he's going to back it up with solid answers, and he knows what he's doing. He's got a solid coaching staff. I think it's off to a good start across the board here. You know, the old thing is, you know, Seth, you never know. Like, one of the points I want to make to you, Lou, I didn't even get a chance to put this in the article. So, but they discuss, like, Cespedes is showing off his arm, and what do we do with a player that does that and over, you know, maybe doesn't hit the cutoff man, throws home when he should be keeping the runner. It's like, so they're digging into everything, not just the obvious things of, okay, this is what you do with a man on first and second. They're looking at the players and what they need to do. And Gary DeSorcino said a great thing, especially with the minor leaguers. He says he wants the coaches and everybody in the organization to pull the guys aside and say, hey, how do you want your career to be remembered? And you don't say that after in the big leagues for 4 years. You say that when they're just starting out, so they get on the right page right from the start and they know it's a job. And so very impressed week when I was down there. And I'll be going back, of course, and back to the Yankees as well. I'll be all over the place.
Yep.
So
I think a fun start. And I think you talk about, and obviously as somebody who, you know, you and I, you know, I read what you write, follow your work, but, and we've spoken a number of times before, and I know that you are somebody who, you know, as you say, you want to see baseball people, you want to see a good baseball man running things. And while I certainly appreciate that and share that, what it seems to me they've done right now that I appreciate and like is this, I think sometimes analytics can be vilified. And the point of analytics is to use information, and information includes, and data includes, what your eyes tell you on that day. That's a data point to be brought to bear by people who understand baseball. And it strikes me this balance between, you're talking about guys, Chili Davis, you know, Hensley Mullins, you know, some of the kind of, you know, old, you know, guys who've been around and played a lot of years on the one hand. On the other hand, you have a younger guy like Luis Rojas managing. And then there's also somebody you could say, you know, maybe it's a risk, but it's a really interesting choice, is Jeremy Hefner as pitching coach, is quite a young guy without a lot of experience. But, you know, you tell me, where do you stand on Hefner as pitching coach?
Well, I've watched him done about five or six bullpens, and every pitcher's come away impressed. And little techniques that they do, little tweaks. You know, they're using the Edgetronics thing, the slow motion camera. Basically, you get 1,000 frames per second. They're filming everything. So as Matt's told me yesterday, you know, when the ball leaves your hand, sometimes you're getting around it instead of on top of it, but you can't quite feel it right. And all of a sudden, you see the video of, you know, you can see the cuticles, you can see everything. And actually, I sat down with some nerds, and I like the nerds, I do. As long as they have baseball first and they don't want to over... The problem is, and I've said this before, Lori, it's when the nerds start to top one another, then you run into problems. And you probably have a situation like in Houston, where all of a sudden the nerds start figuring out, well, we can do this, and all of a sudden we can do it. Next thing you know, they're cheating their butt off.
Right. It's about balance. I mean, I think we can all agree that it's balance.
All these people that you talk about, even the old-timers, they appreciate the extra information. And they can utilize the information. They know where to go with it. And sometimes they're surprised by it because they learn something they don't know. And I think Hefner's on the, if you're going like, say, 5 to 10, 5 being the lowest, 10 the highest, I would say Hefner's probably a 9 on using all that stuff. So I think Hefner's going to be, from what I've seen, you know, I think he's off to a great start. And I think he's going to be really locked in and use everything he can. And again, getting a, you know, I don't know if you saw the story he did on Syndergaard, too. I got Syndergaard, where Syndergaard told me he had about nine or 10 sessions with the analytics people out west when he was in L.A., including some with Hefner. And he says he's so far ahead of where he's been normally, because usually he just comes in and wings it. So he's not winging it now. And I watched his bullpen yesterday. It was very impressive. And that's the thing with the Mets. You know, you're around them, you say, oh, they got great talent, they should be okay. All of a sudden, they get off to that start in May. boom, and they're dead in the water. So they need to avoid that kind of stuff. And maybe by getting a quicker start out of spring training, they won't be in that situation again this year. And maybe you're closer to having the team that they were the second half in the first half.
All right, we'll see. Kevin Kernan from The Post always does a great job. We look forward to your Yankee coverage soon, and we'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks so much.
Take care, Lori. Bye-bye.